All right, we're gonna get started. If you can quietly continue to pass paint back and forth, that's great, fill out your palette. And if it gets too distracting, then I might say, okay, just stop for a little bit. I should maybe have had a lapel on because I tend to move around here. Let's try it this way. All right, today's afternoon theme is color kaleidoscope. And we're just gonna have fun, okay? This is your last one. It's more just to see what you can work with to get warm and cool colors and end off your workshops on a good note. You don't have to feel like you have to get it right. You just enjoy yourself. Let's imagine for a little bit a world without any color at all. Can you imagine just a blank world, colorless? Just pretend all the cardinals are black. The grass is just gray. And the sunset is just black and white. Can you imagine a world like that? Well, we could still continue having life, but it would be so boring. Nobody could speak of being green with envy. Or how about red with rage? Or just a yellow coward? A colorless world would just throw us all into a big, depressing black mood, wouldn't it? But instead, we have color. We have the color of the rainbow. We have six main colors. And then white, which is given off when all the colors are seen at once. And to us, it just looks like white. But really, if you would take it all apart, you would see that each object that you see as a color is basically just one of the colors that's reflected the most. Wherever light travels, these six colors follow in the same order. Light gives us all the colors. The green grass reflects the green light and absorbs all the other colors. The red cardinal you see, he's just reflecting red light and absorbs all the other ones. Technically, the proper word for these six colors is hue. Color involves the whole paint box, that you throw everything together that you can make out of these six hues. And they are the pure color from which all the other colors spring. We're gonna study four different things today. They're kind of overlapping. And the simplest one of these is just the color order. And you notice how, if you look at a rainbow, each one kind of blends into the next one. That's because the one that's there in the middle is made from the one on either side of it, which you probably knew already. And most of you probably know that Roy G. Biv, red, orange, yellow, green, whatever it goes all the way down through. God has made everything on this earth so widely varied, there's no similarities tied them together. How would that be? That would be confusing. But there are similarities, and God worked it all out. So here, what we're going to look at today mostly is cool colors. You have warm colors as well, and the cool ones are made up of blues and purples and greens. And oh, by the way, y'all should take out your paper. If you want to know any of this information, if you don't know it already, you can take your pencil and write in the blanks. If you know what the color order is, you don't have to.
It's the only white you get.
There are about three whites.
Okay, well, that's good.
And I don't think I used worried a whole lot of white. I probably should have done more. The warm colors are shades and tints of the yellow and the orange and the red, and the cool up top are shades of blues and purples and greens, and that's something you might want to write in your blanks. The warm, what are they? Tints of yellow and orange and red, and you're going to want to know that to be able to paint afterwards. And once again, cool colors are the blues and the purples and the greens. You add just a little bits of those to your color, and it will tone them to more of your cool tones versus your warm. That is basically just a color wheel that I cut in half. And if you put the color wheel together, then you would see on the back, I think the very back of your handout, there is a color wheel back there. You'll see, if you compare that to what I have up there, you have a cool on one side and a warm on the other. In painting a foreground, likely you'll have your brighter colors in the foreground. And then some people say that with the light molecules, the water molecules that are in the sky, that it seems like the, like in the Blue Ridge Mountains, you know how they recede and it looks blue in the distance? But that's because of the water molecules in the air. So you, if you're going to do your warmer colors, it seems like the warmer colors tend to draw your eye to the front to make your foreground, and then the blues and the cool colors recede in the background. There you see. There's a whole color wheel. You have your primaries and your secondaries, and that lovely word at the bottom, I think it's tertiary. I can never quite say it right. So if you can say it better than me, good luck. Maybe I should back up just a little bit here. See if I have something down here on my notes that I missed. I was thinking that I had missed a point. The third segment of the color family is color mixing. We know that there's three primary colors, and we combine any two of these and get your secondary colors. Mix a primary with a secondary, and you get the intermediate color, like a red orange, yellow orange. See, the, let's see if I can figure out how to run this little pointer thing. Which one is the pointer, David?
Bottom button.
Bottom button? Oh, there we go. Okay. There you'll see primary colors. That's the biggest letters over here. The red is your primary, your blue, and your yellow. Then your secondary is the next size. Your orange, your green, and your violet. Or you could say purplish. Each one in the middle is made from mixing the two on either side of it. And so would be the two primaries mixed would make your secondary, and then as you go down through, then you have your orange and your yellow mixed, which makes your yellow orange. What a generic name. The same with the blue. You mix your blue and green, you get blue green. I figured it was going to crash. If you mix two secondary colors, you get three different shades of brown, and they actually have names: citron, olive, and russet. And I can't say that any of those three are really my favorite colors. Most of these color mixes or tertiaries don't have names besides those three, but many variations appear as we mix across the color wheel. Pure hues, those main six colors. Pure hues are loud, but if you add a bit of hue from the opposite side of the color wheel, it mutes its loudness and it tones it down. Even God, when he created things, the yellow daffodils, they have just a touch of violet, a little bit of purple in them, so they don't just scream at you. And how about the green grass? It has just a little hint of red to it to make it not quite so loud and brilliant. Just imagine all of your grass. Well, that color of green doesn't look very green, but just think of your green that comes out of your tube. If all the green grass is that color green. And then, of course, at the hub of the wheel, right here in the very middle, if you would mix the colors down through the middle, you'd come up with sort of a gray, mushy color. There's different colors of gray depending on which way you mix them. Red plus green equals gray. Blue plus orange, and yellow plus violet, but they're a little bit different shades of gray. Okay, now for your painting, you're going to want to remember this part. If you add white to whatever color that you have, which Naomi Lee should have bought a little bit more white, you can also do it with just adding water in this case, if you're going to make your wash. you can make and tint it down mostly with white, and then add black or a complementary color, or in this case, you could add like one of your darker blues to pull down through to get your shade to darken. When you want to create a value of a warm tone or a cool tone, you add white. And of course, there are some popular tints that we already know the name of. What if you do red plus white? You get pink. Pink, orange is called. And what if you have orange and you add a little white? You get what you just said. Peach. And all of us know what if you add violet, if you have purple or violet and you add white, you get? Yes. When you create a shade of a color, you're adding the black. And one easy way to remember that is the A in shade. And if you add, and then the I in the tint goes with the I in white. And if you have a shade, of course, if you are in the shade, it gets darker. So you can add tones and tints and shades, and you have a complete fascinating scope of color. Okay, this is something what David was talking about today, and he explained it so much better than I can, but you can see it up there. You have complementary colors, one across from the other is your complementary, like Christmas colors, and then many of the other ones across from each other. And the three beside each other seem to work well together, and then the triad would be your three to make a triangle. Split complementary is kind of one of my favorite. You take the color directly across, instead of using it, use one on either side. And then you have your monochromatic, which is just what? How would you make a monochromatic? Keep on adding, make it lighter with white, or keep on toning it down with water. So there's one other division of color, which we're talking about now, which is your color harmony. Wherever we apply color to our wallpaper, our carpet, flower beds, our clothes, wherever we want color harmony, wherever we want color, color harmony helps us to apply it tastefully. We all know a little bit about color harmony, especially girls with jackets and sweaters on top of dresses. We have certain opinions. Most of us think we know what we like best to make it harmonize. And some people don't like harmony, obviously. Analogous color harmonies, colors beside each other on the color wheel, broaden out to include the three adjacent hues, like we said. The middle hue should never be a primary, such as a scheme of red-violet, red, and red-orange. If you cross from cool to warm, that's where you get your discord. So you try to stay within your warm family and your cool family. I don't think that Weston's stickers work very well, let's just say. Interest increases as we add a third hue into your split complementary. As I said, that's the one that I prefer the most. There could be more on this subject, but with that basic knowledge of color, you're ready to choose your colors and apply your knowledge pretty much here. Now, out of everything I said, did anything stick at all? What would you say? Which one is warm and which one is cool? Can you tell me?
That one.
Oops. Wrong thing to hit there. Warm?
Yeah.
And cool. And so you can see all they did was basically you take your same range of tones, add some blues and greens and the cooler tones to get that. And here you add your reds and oranges. Hopefully we'll have time for you to do one of each. You have two boards here today, and you can start out doing a wash from the top down. I would use your darker color at the top. You might want to try a little bit at the top first. But let's look at a few more painting here. Let's quickly just rattle this off. What's that one? You see any warm in it anywhere?
The grass tree.
Yeah, I think you're right. Whoops, here I go again. Hit the wrong thing. I would think that the grass would have, but it does have a little bit of yellow tone. What about this part? These kind of pop out at you. They seem to stand out with a little bit of red tone in them.
Warm.
Would you say any of it has warm?
Mm-hmm.
Warm?
That's cool.
How about let's say that's cool? This is cool, but that's actually warm right there. I took that picture just recently when I was in Chile. They were having a parade, an Independence Day parade. And these?
Cool.
That's pretty cool right there. What about this one?
Cool and warm.
Where's the warm spot?
Grass.
And?
The house.
I sort of think that the building here kind of pops out. You tend to have a little more red in those. Now, I might be wrong here. This is my opinion. To me, it seems like this is a bit cooler and it has more of a pop of color there of warmth.
Warm.
Yeah.
Warm and cool.
Yes, it's warm and cool, but it's...
Well, here we go again.
I sort of think that's the overall tone, if you look at it. It kind of gives you a warm feel to it. Like there might be, even though it's green and blue, it feels like it has some red and some purple maybe. Something to balance it out a little bit to give it more of a warm feeling. That one?
Warm.
Yeah, especially the flowers. The background seems to just fade out, not only because of the way the photo was taken, but also because of the color. That one?
Cool.
And with the shot, that has a shot of orange and red in there, it makes it pop out at you. And of course, just a bit background along the horizon. Now, this is just for fun. What time is it? I'll just quickly go over this really fast. But would you say that color is really all that important? If you listen to what the research from the Institute for Color says, customers generally make an initial judgment on a product within 90 seconds of interaction with the project. With the product, excuse me. And about 62 to 90% of that judgment is based on color. That means you look at something and within a few seconds you've decided, yes, I like it, no, I don't. And a lot of that is simply because of color. Research also suggests that 80% of the sensory information we absorb is visual. A scooter manufacturer in Japan entered the Indian market with a jet black scooter. The scooters in Japan, black is considered to be sleek and modern. The scooter sales in India just never gained any traction. After doing some consumer research, the manufacturer found out that black represents death in India. Sales increased after the scooters were sold in other colors. And then there's an article about chewing gum. It went into the Chinese market with green branding. The product sales were just terrible. Until the company found out that green is a sacred color in China. So they changed their product to pink. And lo and behold, it sold a whole lot better. Most of you probably won't be sending your paintings to other countries, but nowadays, it seems like so often you can see things from around the world really quickly, online and from even in magazines from other places. And just for fun, I put a little chart in your book, in your handout, I mean. And it has the different things that the different colors mean. You may have, in Western America, you may think that red means danger. Well, if you go to Asia, it actually means happiness. What about yellow? We think warmth and happiness. Well, if you go over to Latin America, it could mean death or sorrow or mourning. The same with blue. We think of trust, like a lot of banks would use blue because it's a color that seems to mean trust in our minds. We just sort of don't even think about it, perhaps. And some of the others are sort of the same in that one. Green, greed or luck. And some of those are same, and over here in Latin America, again, could be danger. Okay, I'll just leave that up on the board. That will help you just a little bit to get your cool. Show you my flip lights on. The cool colors, you'll see, you can have them soft and muted, or you can have them bright. And the same with your warm colors. What I want you to do is basically take your one, whatever you call it. I want you to take the one and paint warm, and the other one to paint cool. And I would almost think you might, if you're, I would almost think try to start with the cool one first, because that's the most difficult. The orangey ones, anybody could start throwing those colors on. And start like David did with your color, mix a little bit of water into your color, and then you can actually mix pretty well right on your board. It's up to you, but I tend to usually start by mixing water into my color a little bit on the side, and then once I get a little color mix there, then I start smearing it onto my board and keep adding water. And especially as you go down, keep on adding water till you're about a little bit past midway. Think about doing your blues with adding a little bit of extra green. Choose your a little bit of purple. You can mix it in, and it will mute your blue down so it's not such a bright blue. That will give you your cool color aspect. And if you want to add just a little bit of, once it's a little bit drier, then you can go in and throw your white in for a cloud. But try to make, mostly just do your wash for that. So let's talk about all we'll get done.
What color should we mix?
For your cool, do the blue with any of those other two colors to tone it down. And you can also add a little bit of white and water to wash it down for you. Just try it and see. That one comes out. There's another big brown over there.
There's two of them.
This is just for fun. Just try it. See if you can get a cool wash of color on the one, and while it's drying, then you can use a warm wash on the other one.
What are they supposed to paint?
Something out of your mind. Basically, I want you to just do the wash, and I want you to end up with, let's start with the cool one here. If you start out the top, basically I just put a cool wash of color down, and then I went in afterwards and threw the color on top. But you don't even have to get a complete painting done today. Basically, I want you to just do with the cool colors to see if you can get a cool wash. Basically, another thing is, I was thinking, if we were seeing the photographs up there, you had more warm tones in the front and cool as it recedes. And I chose to do a sky scene with reflecting water so that you could have totally cool and then totally warm. That's why I want sky and water. Just use your imagination. And make sure you keep on adding lots of water as you go down across so that it blends down to your midline. Little past middle. Unless you want yours to be mostly sky and less water.
The color
didn't turn out right. It makes a little bit of time. But it'll come, we can make
screen.
It's mostly use lots of blue, just a teeny touch of the other color to get it to.
So you use white?
You can mix a little white in there. You've got way more paint than what you ever need, so just use a little tiny bit out of it. Out of your greenish. You basically need very little paint and lots of water to get your acrylic wash. But that's like right onto your board, I'm saying, more so. Keep on adding water as you work down through to get it to. If you go too far past midpoint, you're going to have a hard time then putting your water in the bottom. I see people putting lots of paint on. Do your paint at the top, and basically you don't want much paint as you keep going down. You just add water to it to keep on watering it down so it will fade off till it gets to the horizon line, if that makes sense.
You want it from the top to the bottom?
Mm-hmm, top to bottom.
Just to this middle.
Well, that's kind of up to you how you want your scene to be, but most of it, they're saying today, we need two-thirds. If you have more sky, we need two-thirds. If you want more water, then we need one-third sky, two-thirds water. And I see some people are doing wide and some people are doing tall. It really doesn't matter.
Horizontal versus vertical seam.
Do we have to do a seam that has water?
You want to do all sky?
No, not all sky. That's not the one that's like the ground.
If you do, you might need to keep your colors all cool. That's why I wanted you to do water most of it, because the water will reflect it from the sky.
Oh, it's okay, because then you're starting, I think you're seeing that will go up in there.
Well, on this one here, when I did the warm one, I did the sky and water, and then I did like a warm foreground. So it's not like it's totally wrong to do it that way. I wish these things would stick up on the wall so you could see. Maybe that'll help. That's your warmer one, and you could do the same thing with the pool one if you wanted to. Put a little bit of land down here. You just have to use your grasses would have more blue and not as much red added to it.
Far should be down halfway.
If you want more sky in your picture, do two-thirds down for sky and then the bottom third water or land, a mixture.
Yeah.
Remember we were learning the rule of thirds today? So if you prefer to have more clouds, do it that way. And if you want to have more water and land, then the bottom two-thirds should be your water and land. Just don't make it stop right in the middle. The less paint you put, probably the better for your wash background. Start with a road color for the top and then just work your way down with water. Okay, if you have the sky on your pool one, you can switch to your other board. And now let's do a warm sky. This will be your same blue, or you could do, there are different shades of blue out there too. There's some that have, that look a little more like they might have yellow, orange, or red in them already. Those would be good blues for your warm sky. And then if you don't like the color blue that you have, or if you want to make it just a little more, add a little yellow, orange, or red to the blue, but just a smidge. You don't need much of either one, but probably 3/4 blue to a little touch of the yellow, or orange, or red mixed in. And then, of course, it will still be watered down good and proper as you go down through. I put just a streak of color across here with water and just blended it down to about that point. That's where it stopped. And I actually chose another color and was working my way down in layers of washes. The interesting thing about acrylic is if you really truly don't like what you have, if you let it dry, then you can do another color right smack on top of it. In watercolor, you basically have to say, okay, I'll start over again.
You could also, I see some of you did kind of, they did with watercolor, you can also take the paper towel and daub out little bits of your sterile and glue paint. If you like to have a pile of it rather than all white paint.
The blue on here? I added a lot more purple, I think. Let me see, no, I would, this one here, I kind of cheated just a little bit and added some of the other, the purples, just a bit of purple into my bright, bright red, which you're not really supposed to do, but I put a little bit of coolness on top of the red. Because I didn't care for just the glaring red. It had a totally red sky, and I thought it was warm enough with a little bit of blue to balance it out.
Can we just put plain red down in like a soft color and put it?
Whatever you want to do. It's your opinion.
Is that how you did that?
This one? I did totally red all the way across from here down, and then I painted the blue on top. But I did try to do the blue with, I think I mixed a little bit of red into the blue, or had the red shine through, so it didn't, so it looked still a bit warmer. See, that still looks warmer than what that blue does over there. For your background wash, don't think paint, think water. And then remember to stop about two-thirds of the way down to add your ocean. It's up to you now how you want to flip back and forth. Pick out your board that is the driest and then start your water on that one. Of course, your water is going to be well, it's up to you. I actually made my water a little bit green. I added some greens to my water to give it more of a cool look.
So your purple in the water, did you have that underneath and then
paint over? I actually had my wash of green blue about this tone all the way down, and then back over to purple hue and painted the purple on top. But you have to be careful when you get up to your water line.
Okay, yeah. Because it doesn't go.
There's many ways to do it, I'm sure. I don't really actually know what I'm doing. I just paint for the fun of it. I noticed some of you are having a hard time dragging your paint down. You can cheat a little bit and run your paintbrush up and down until you get your paint drug to where you want it all the way across, then smooth it back out again, going horizontal lines. You don't feel like spending the money, you just want acrylic paint to practice with. You can even just go to like Walmart and choose those little, like that white tube I have here, it's a little, not a little tube, it's just like a little bottle. You can even get that cheapo stuff just to practice with. It might work a little bit differently, but you get the general idea. Especially if you have this and you say, oh, I really wish I had more paint at home and I could redo it or add something to it. Oh, I see some people doing white clouds on top of their sky. Just a little tip I found out. If you paint in your white cloud and then add water to the bottom of it and kind of smear the bottom of your cloud gently into the the blue background, it'll actually look like your cloud is kind of fading down into the blue sky. You can even add some other little color down underneath if you want to have a storm coming, a little gray. You have another 10 minutes worth of fun, so whichever one you think you want to work on the most, the cool one or the warm one, that's entirely up to you. You probably are anyway.
No, it's fine.
All right. That's the end. So you need to clean up your act pretty quick here and put everything away. Thanks for coming and having fun this afternoon. Hope you learned a little bit of something about warm and cool. And I'm sorry if the colors were just a little bit bizarre. I think they were a little bit hard to work with to make them muted enough. Have a good rest of your afternoon.
I don't think I want to keep it.